Welcome back to A Bigger Table, and thank you for coming back after our last episode last week, and then even all the political stuff going on, whether it's the primaries, whether it's the coronavirus, politics are in and around everything right now. And so thank you for sticking with us and going through this project together. And I think it's very helpful to kind of hang in there and listen to each other. And I think that's the only way we can move forward, is to understand each other better and realize that we all have different gifts, especially gifts that overcome some of the weaknesses of the other. And so what you're going to hear today and going each week forward is you're going to hear from each individual that I interviewed and their political party. I didn't want to mix them up because it gets too confusing that way. So this week you're going to hear from Dave Pruitt. And Dave Pruitt is a dear friend. He used to go to New Hope. He moved away for some family. And he was gracious enough to give his voice to talk to the conservative group. And he talks about how his faith influences his conservative politics and ideology and worldview. And so I hope you enjoy my conversation with Dave. Hey, Dave, I want to ask you a couple of questions. And the first one is, what is your history or relationship to politics?
Well, it's a pleasure to be here today, Jordan. So thanks for asking me.
But no problem.
My history or relationship to politics, gosh. I think that politics is inherently linked to all of our rights, and I'm a student of history. So I think it behooves us to remain attentive and engaged to politics through in whatever form we care to get engaged. I personally am not that engaged in local politics or national, other than voting. And I very much believe that it's everyone's duty as well as the right to vote, because if you don't vote, as far as I'm concerned, you have no business complaining if you don't like things.
So for you, how do your faith and politics intersect? Does one inform the other?
Well, yeah, I think that faith and politics are inherently linked. If you look at the founding of our country, which I believe in very much, I believe that faith was a big part of the founding of our country and in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights in itself. The founding fathers were men of faith, and the country from its earliest beginnings was both commercial at Jamestown in 1607, as well as faith-based in Plymouth. So we kind of have those two things in our background, in our history. And for me personally, I think that the faith helps me understand where I should be. I think that a lot of things that in terms of faith is just doing the right thing. You know, as the Bible says, as Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. And I think that's a big part that defines my politics and my faith. If more people could just act the right way and not find divisiveness so much, so often, I think we'd have a better world.
So it's kind of using the golden rule, treat others as you want to be treated.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So in terms of your politics then of like the candidates that you support, you don't have to tell us who you support, but just in general, as you support candidates, is it more of, are they embodying the issues that are important to you, or is it merely if they wear the correct jersey, as in terms of like if they're wearing the Republican or Democrat jersey, then you just vote for them anyway? How does that work for you?
No, not the latter. And by the way, I'm not a big Packers fan, although I do like their quarterback. He went to Cal. So, but no, it's not a Jersey issue to me. In fact, many years ago, I stopped identifying myself as a Republican or a Democrat and took on a moniker that was more descriptive of my beliefs. And I could see myself very easily voting for somebody of a different party than I am registered as if it had to do with beliefs.
Yeah, and I think what I've experienced sometimes in my life growing up is I've seen people that have let their politics inform their faith rather than their faith inform their politics. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. Kind of. And I try and lean toward the latter.
Yeah.
Faith inform my politics.
Yeah. So what would you consider yourself? Just unaffiliated? Independent?
No, conservative.
Conservative? Okay. But not necessarily Republican label.
No.
Right. Okay.
And that's what I meant earlier about, you know, taking off the monikers, because anymore, in a lot of places, you have to identify as libertarian or Republican or Democrat. And so in that case, I would identify as a Republican. But I don't consider myself that. I consider myself a free-thinking conservative.
Good. And I think that's a good distinction to make. So thank you for opening up about that and telling us about that. So then what part do your politics play in your faith community? So like, does it have an impact on a church you choose? How does that kind of work out in the community of faith?
It could. And I experienced that when I was very young. This was in the early 60s. My father was a Marine Reserve officer, and the Vietnam War was going on. And the pastor at the church we were going to spoke out from the pulpit against the Vietnam War. My father wasn't necessarily in favor of war, but he saw that as I think I would today, as something that's inappropriate for the church, for a pastor to be getting directly involved in politics to that degree. And it was something that went against his thinking at the time. And we changed churches, and I could very easily see myself doing the same thing in a like environment.
Well, because it changed from the pastor doing that kind of made it now everything would seem very partisan.
Yes.
Right?
And it wasn't as I recall the sermon, because I was in church that Sunday, as I recall, it was not a sermon on applying biblical teachings to the war in Vietnam. It was more of an anti-war sermon.
Yeah.
Anti-government involvement in Vietnam sermon.
Yeah.
And anti-troop, you know, not even at all supportive of the men and women fighting the war, which, regardless how you feel about it, looks to me like these people are just carrying out orders and, in a lot of cases, and trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, they're doing their job. They're doing the thing they've been trained to do.
Right.
Right.
But at this point, I must say, you know, if you look at history, there comes a point, and everybody in the military is taught you need to follow legal orders, mm-hmm. but you are obligated not to follow illegal orders. So if any of us are put in a position where it is morally wrong or illegal, an order that we are given, we are obligated to point that out and disobey it.
Yeah. So, and
that's off topic, but I think that's an important distinction.
That is, that's a good distinction to have, because I think sometimes people in the military get a bad rap because people tend to put a label that they are just kind of mindlessly following orders all the time, but that isn't true, and that's not the way they're trained. So,
not the way it should be. You're right, and that's not the way they're trained.
Have you ever felt alienated in a church community because of your political beliefs?
Yeah, not so much me personally, mm-hmm. but my family certainly, and that was that case that I told you about when I was, gosh, I must have been about sixth or seventh grade at the time.
Was there any other times in adulthood that you felt that way? Maybe not you personally, but you went to a church and you just felt like, I can't be here because it feels like they are moving this more this way than I'm comfortable with, type of thing?
Well, there was one church that we were just joining, and the church started going in a direction that I didn't necessarily feel comfortable with. The church leadership had already made a decision to go ahead and go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else about the church, we were quite pleased with. We prayed about it and thought seriously about whether we should stay, and decided, yeah, it was something we could overcome, and we were going to stay.
When you think of members of another party, do you view them as neighbors, or are they... Go ahead.
Absolutely.
And then the second part of my question was, are they partners in democracy or are they enemies to be dominated? And I only asked that question not as like a gotcha question, but more of, I think right now the general feel that we all have within politics and media going on right now is that we are not caring for our neighbors across the aisle. Instead of, we're just trying to win and dominate the arguments. So for you, people of different party, how do you view them?
As partners, and I would like to have conversations with them and try and understand what makes them believe what they believe. And at the same time, try and explain what makes me believe what I believe, and see if there is a point of compromise or turning somebody such that they will change their perspective and their viewpoint, but definitely as partners.
I think sometimes we forget that we need each other. I think our different perspectives actually help us be better overall.
Oh, absolutely.
For me, in my own life, growing in my own political discourse and theology and worldview and everything, one of the things I started to realize was, like, you know, Republicans are really good at certain things that maybe Democrats are not good at. Democrats are good at some things that Republicans aren't, and then so forth and so on for different parties. And like, even these smaller third or fourth parties that don't get much voice, they're still there with something to teach us in some way.
Right. But isn't that just how life is? Mm-hmm. Everybody brings their own skill set to the party.
Yeah.
And we're told, biblically again, we're told each of you have your own skills and each of you need to nurture those skills.
Do you have anything else you want to add, Dave, to the conversation before we kind of sign off?
I think you put together some thoughtful questions, and I'm interested in hearing what all your interviewees have to say.
I also reached out to Corey Gardner and Hickenlooper, but those were just kind of, that was a wishful reach out.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing good, Jordan. I think these kinds of discussions are good to have,
mm-hmm.
and good for people to listen to. And I'm, like I said, I'm anxious to hear what your other interviewees have to say and see if they disagree with me or where maybe I need to reconsider something.
Thank you for listening to my conversation with Dave. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoy talking to him about the certain questions. And guess what? You can do this too. You can do this with your family. You can do this with your friends, your neighbors. Be like Jesus and go and talk to people. Do not demonize them, but be with them, hear them. Thank you for listening to this podcast. A Bigger Table is a series on Voices of Hope, which is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and review it. Share it with your friends. We will see you next week as we interview a Douglas County Democrat.